Ugly day yesterday. Talks broke off, name calling, and worst of all, Steve Fear's sweater. Man, that thing was ugly. Did you see it, Brian Muir?
I did.
It was brutal. Great to see you. Great to see Morgan Campbell, business reporter, Toronto Star. Great to see Jamie Dowick, who is the owner of the Toronto Rock. You must be loving the fact that there's no hockey.
Yes.
Yes. And Steve Buffery, great to welcome fine writer from the Toronto Sun. Good to see you guys. So before we get to the debate, it all fell apart, as you likely know, on a voicemail to Donald Fear. And it maybe sounded something like this.
Hey, Donald M. Fear here. Leave a message after the tone and I will get back to you.
Hey, Don, Bill Daly here. This time you have really done it. Gary is furious. Oh, God, he's loosening his tie. That's a bad sign, Don. What's that, Gary?
Anything that we put on the table this week is off the table.
Yeah, everything's off the table. Relax. Room service came. They cleaned it up. They'll be back. What?
I am disappointed beyond belief that we are where we are tonight.
Oh, God, help us. Anyway, we're rejecting the deal.
Yeah, maybe it sounded something like that. So let's start with a Steve Buffery tweet. The poor NHL players being treated like cattle. Poor, poor millionaires, entitled players. We all should be treated like cattle. Who agrees with that?
What about the poor billionaires that own the teams?
Well, I don't feel sorry for either is my point. I was referring to Scotty Upshaw's tweet about be treated like cattle, and today his new one about what do they want, our arms and legs? I mean, give me a break. I mean, with all due respect, Brian, these guys don't know how good they have it, do they not?
No, I'll stand here as an ex-player and tell you that they need to concede a little, and I think they have. And I think that they're now getting, with this voicemail and stuff that's gone on in the press, I think you're getting a vision of how hard-lined the owners actually are for what they want. And I don't know if the players actually knew that, because they've gone back with concessions and they're trying to make the system work, I think, but I think they're now learning how hard-lined it is, and this is a really frustrating situation.
That's fine, but I don't care about who gets what. I just think that both sides should realize that to the average schmo following this, They have it you know, good. And stop trying to play sympathy.
You know? I can't disagree with you in the fact that, listen, we do the players make a lot of money. The owners make some money. There's ones that don't. And there's ones that do. And, you know, it's the billionaires versus the millionaires argument that everyone's complaining about here. And I can't disagree with that. But I think that for the love of the game that everyone has in Canada and the States, I think we need to get
Jamie?
This resolved. And
well, I mean, my point is that, you know, the players are making so much money. And, you know, and I understand both sides of it. But as an owner of a team, you know, the owners feel like they need to dig in. This might be their one chance. And, you know, the players do choose to go down this
route. Their one chance. They had a chance last time, and they had us over a barrel, and they signed the deal they wanted to. How can you say it's the one chance?
How can the fans sit back and feel sorry, you know, for the players when...
I don't think the players are looking for sympathy.
Well, here's the thing.
But they're not. But, sorry, go ahead.
One, I think the millionaires versus billionaires argument kind of oversimplifies it because a billionaire still has 1,000 times more money than a millionaire has. It's not like these guys are
so what? Both of them have more money than guys like you and me.
Yes, but
that's my point.
But their jobs aren't like our jobs. And the fact is, this is a billion-dollar business with like very few people. It's a billion-dollar industry with very few people that are qualified to play in the NFL.
I buy all that, Morgan.
So these guys are going to make
a lot of money.
But they still
have it
good. We can't begrudge them that because you have a very small window of opportunity.
I don't begrudge them anything. But just stop trying to play poor me and the other side trying to play poor us.
At the same time.
And get on with it.
I think you have a valid point, and you know some guys they kind of fly off the cuff and they say things they shouldn't say. You know the owners have 30 owners that they can control. There's 750 members in the union.
Granted.
A lot of guys they have Twitter, they have these social media that they can say things. You know what? Granted, it wasn't the greatest thing to say, and maybe he's regretting it now. Maybe he's not. Maybe he stands by what he says. But I think that you know his point is so valid in the fact that there's a small window that you can make this money, and I don't think players are looking.
Jamie and I were talking about that before the show, and it's a small window, but you could still make in 4 years in NHL or more than we can make in our lifetime.
Let me ask you a hypothetical here. Let's say the owners put it to a vote right now, and you took sort of a hybrid of what the players have consented and what the owners have consented, 30 owners voting right now. What do you think would happen?
Well, I mean, I think there's probably, in all honesty, 7 to 10 teams that make good money in the league. Then the rest of the, you know, the kind
what do you
of the
think
next
would happen
20?
If they put it to a vote?
I think at best it would be a 50-50.
And what do you think would happen if they voted in the National Hockey League right now? 750 players. Here's what the owners are offering. Here's what we've got. Let's put it all together.
I actually think they should go to a secret ballot for the players. I actually think that might. I don't know. I'm beginning to think without the you know the PA officials looking over their shoulder, who knows? This might break the deadlock.
See, the problem is with the players having such a short career. The guys that don't make that huge money and whatever, you know, losing a season or losing anything is really affecting the smaller
guys. You're seeing the leverage that they have. That's what they're playing. They know the careers have gotten shorter. From when I started, guys played longer. Now guys are getting hurt, and you're looking at 4 or 5 years.
But hold still on to that thought. Got to go to break. More OTR when we return.
Our goal is to make a deal. I repeat, our goal is to make a deal. Anything that we put on the table this week is off the table.
On the table, off the table, in the table.
We want to play hockey, and we want to make a deal. They don't think it's time to make a deal.
The NHL will meet at any time, any place.
Anywhere, anytime.
We're not going anywhere.
Our objective is the stability of this league. I am disappointed beyond belief.
We don't love it.
Am I unhappy? You bet I am.
Gary Bettman, through the ages, he repeatedly said yesterday he doesn't have a drop-dead date. Obviously, he has a drop-dead date if they can only... He says the minimum season is 48 games, so he could work back from there. Is he making a mistake, though? Not saying to Don Fehr, here's the date, January 12th, best offer by then or we're done?
No, he's not making a mistake because... There's a thin line between drop-dead date and ultimatum. They're basically the same thing. And for as much miscommunication, you know, has gone on between the owners and the union, once you start giving ultimatums, the other side tunes out immediately.
Well, I think the past lockout happened. We all know, we saw the timeline of how it basically played out. So it's pretty easy to figure out how this could play out if it were to go that long. So I don't think it's very difficult for
I don't think there'd be any point to give it a drop.
I tell you what the point is. Do you think Don Fehr has given his best offer yet, or do you think he's playing this out to see, okay, you know what, it's going to be better tomorrow than it was yesterday? Because he's found that out. Like Bettman, all the things that he said, this is the best we can do, wasn't the best we can do.
Don Fehr has been involved in 6 work stoppages, and I don't think he has a best offer. I think he tries to get as much as he can until the NHL agrees with him.
The drop-dead date is, so to speak, even though he hasn't been told it. He knows when this has to happen or it's not going to happen, and that's when I think he'll dig in, and he, you're right, he's been through
this. It's a game of chicken, and we know that, right? We've done so much damage to the game now. I think the owners are sitting there looking at this saying, wow, we had the game grow to where it did after the last CBA. It's been pretty amazing where we got the game. And, you know, with a TV contract now, and you're causing this detrimental damage to the game, The players want to play. I'll tell you that right now. They want to get back and play.
But that goes without saying. The owners want to own, the players want to play.
But the thing is, it's a game of chicken. So who's going to now blink at the end and kind of give that little bit to make this deal?
I think the players are going to blink because they have more to lose than the owners.
Morgan, agree or disagree with this? Donald Fehr has done a brilliant job so far for the players.
I don't know if it's an agree or disagree question. Like, that's something.
Let me check here.
Let me check.
You're a business reporter. I'm the host of OTR. I get to ask the question. Agree or disagree?
I have a tough time judging it until I see, what deal is actually made and whether or not they're able to salvage the season. That's kind of how you judge the success of this.
They would have had a deal done
already. You can't say that because they could have got a bad deal.
You can't say that. That's such a subjective question, and it's tough to answer that because if it does get done and it happens and it's a decent deal for the players, he looks brilliant.
At the end of the day, Don Fehr's not – I mean, ultimately, like, if you look at the NHL, and it's on a much smaller scale, but we have 9 owners, and we sit around a room, and each of us have a voice, and we are more than – we are the ones dictating what's happening, you know, and our commissioner is the one.
Don't think that they haven't sat in a room.
Oh, no, they have.
They've sat in a room, all 30 of them. They have their agenda of what it is, and you're now seeing how hard-line they are for their agenda. The 30 owners are represented in that room. Oh, Gary Bettman's representing them, and that's what they want.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, the reality, I actually feel a little bit for Bettman. He's the one thrown under the bus when the
reality
is...
Look at when they tried to backdoor... Now the backdoor way and try and get some players to meet the owners to actually see what the issues are. And this is what they wanted to happen because they had such a hard line, I think, that no one really saw that anything was going to happen.
That was just public relations, though, was it not?
The right owners, like a guy like Larry Tannenbaum. I mean, you know, Larry Tannenbaum's going to be...
I think they had a mix of owners that they had some that make money, some that break even, and some that lose money. And they had those guys in the room so that you could get everyone's opinion on what had to happen.
Let me tell you why I think, and you didn't agree with me, right, that Don Fehr's done a brilliant job.
I don't think
he's done. How can you say that until this thing?
I'll tell you how I can say that. Because you say he hasn't done a brilliant job until they have a deal. Well, the truth is, the offer that he got 3 months ago and 2 months ago and 1 month ago was not nearly as good as what's on the table for him now. If he had settled like right, all yeah. of you guys want to settle, so but he would have so, taken no, but
you could say, you could
deal.
Say he has done a good job up to this point, but if he screws it up and they
how
get
can
nothing,
you say that?
Then he hasn't done a
if
good
this
job,
this whole
right?
year goes by and all this year's whole revenue is gone, you know, don't you think then that the, some of the owners are going to say, well, now we've lost a whole year and now we've lost out on this revenue, so now we're going to dig in even, you know, now we're not giving, you know, we're not willing to make some sacrifices.
Are all the
you know,
owners...
You get your back up and start to fight.
Are all the owners
I think their back's
be,
already up.
Are all the owners going to be equally disappointed in losing a whole
well,
season?
You know, got to cut you off. Got to cut you off. We're out of time. Can read that guy, Buffery in the Sun. You can see that guy's lacrosse team starting when?
We have an exhibition game this Saturday night.
Toronto Rock. You can read him writing business in the Toronto Star. And you can find out where this guy gets his watches, which I'm holding right now. I should pull it out from my jacket and where this guy gets. Yeah. What's the other company?
Nobis Coats.
All right. Thanks for doing this, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.